And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's good, everybody? Thursday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete and Nick back with you from our homes after a successful weekend in Las Vegas, for sure. What's going on, Nick? Great to be back with you.
Not too much, Pete. It usually takes me a couple days to decompress after a trip to Vegas, but enjoying life and enjoying the NHL being back post-All-Star and enjoying your Edmonton Oilers, too.
Yeah, you were right on about them. They certainly look like a flawed team coming out of the break. Yeah, not much to say other than that. I mean, we knew all along, but certainly a couple of back-to-back losses just make things look even worse than they already did in the standings. Maybe they're just a fringe playoff team at best this season, and we'll just leave it at that, right?
Yeah, lots of news over the last couple of days for sure, even since we got back. But I just had to bring that up because we did talk about that with Stormy Bonatoni last week. Just Edmonton, yeah. The Jekyll and Hyde, the same old story. They come out of the break, back-to-back home games, PD. They're outscored 8-1. I just can't believe. I'm sorry. I know you got McDavid. I know you got Draisaitl. I know you got a couple other good players. I just can't believe in Edmonton. That's all I'll say moving forward.
They're losers. They're a bunch of losers. They got a loser. They got a loser in goal. They don't have enough depth to help out McDavid and Draisaitl. Everyone is a bunch of losers except for those two. And I'm done talking about this team. Every single podcast I'm on here, we're talking about Edmonton. It's over. I don't want to talk about Edmonton anymore until they win 5-10 in a row to get back in the mix and to actually be relevant and to be a team that is worth talking about. I'm done talking about them, Peter. So move on quick. We got a lot of listener questions today. We're coming out of Vegas. We got a ton of listeners that want to ask us questions and want the knowledge. So we're going to get to those, but I'm done with Edmonton.
It's unfortunate because Mikko Koskinen was playing well last week or two, and now he's on COVID list and the wheels have fallen off the rest of the team. So again, you can't make excuses because a lot of these times when we come on these shows, right, Nick, we're blaming Mikko Koskinen and things like that. So
yeah,
maybe the honeymoon phase is over for Evander Kane. Who knows? I still would hold on to a lot of these secondary guys, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Evander Kane. Maybe you cut the cord on Yamamoto if you don't have the patience anymore and you want to just go elsewhere. So some big news in the NHL yesterday. Let's start with the Boston Bruins. Tuukka Rask, one of the best goalies of this era, has officially retired. So now it's back to Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark. Which guy do you like better for the rest of the season based on what you've seen so far in their Bruins careers?
Well, first off, I thought it was funny that just right when the news broke, Swayman surrendered like 2 goals in like 30 seconds. It's amazing how things work out. I think clearly with Tuukka Rask, they're a better hockey team. Having said that, he came off a pretty tough injury, just couldn't get back to the Tuukka Rask we saw from the past. So as you mentioned, the play right now is to pick up Jeremy Swayman. You know me, I've been talking about this for the last couple months. I'm a Swayman owner in a keeper league. I actually dropped him. Managed to pick him up, which I felt comfortable with. Having said that, I think it's going to be a turbulent next little while here, Pete, for the Boston Bruins. The Marchand suspension, Patrice Bergeron is banged up. So I don't know what I'm thinking with this team. Like, I think it's a decent buy low time, but I wonder if Boston just settles into that wild card spot for the rest of the season. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they play the next couple of weeks because I think we saw a nice bounce back performance from the Islanders on the road on Wednesday night, beating up Vancouver. So you don't know if that team's quite done yet. Of course, we have the trade deadline coming up. So you expect Boston to be active if they're going to try to make another run at this thing. You would expect the Islanders, if they start playing better, and they start staying healthy and not having games postponed or guys missing in the lineup, to maybe creep back into the conversation just because they have so many games in hand. But yeah, The Boston Bruins, the save percentages, including Rask, were not great. I mean, Rask was terrible, 844. Swayman, 914. Linus Ullmark right behind him, 913. But Ullmark has played 6 more games. So You've kind of gotten that ordinary goaltending, nothing spectacular, nothing too bad. But I think that they're going to certainly need better if they're going to do any damage in the playoffs. A mediocre tandem is not going to get you anywhere come April or May.
Especially considering who they're likely to play right in the first round. If like you get a wild card spot, you're playing an upper echelon team. Is it a Carolina? Is it a Florida? Is it a Tampa? It's going to be a tough opponent. But again, Boston's pulled it out before. To answer your question, by the way, like I think Linus Allmark is probably the way I'm siding just between the two. But I think it's likely we see what we've seen, you know, the last year and a half. And they have a really good relationship, by the way, Allmark and Swayman. I think they go back and forth between these two guys. And I do think there's value, especially when Boston gets healthier and they get guys back in the lineup. Because I should note their top line heading into the next game is going to be Hall, Halla, and Pasternak, which was actually their second line like a month ago. So I don't know how much winning Boston is going to do over the next little while. I think they got to tighten things up here, Petey.
Yeah, that's not a bad first line, but the second line is going to have a massive drop off compared to usual. So yeah, that's going to be a concern with their schedule coming up, regardless of who they're playing. And yeah, for Allmark, he's definitely been better so far this season, 16-6. With only one overtime loss. So yeah, that's a strong record. He's ranked ahead of Swayman in our upcoming goalie rankings this week, but not by much. I think we could all look at Swayman as one of the higher end pickups for this week, despite his loss on Tuesday. And the Boston Bruins are still in very high likelihood a playoff team. What, 85, 90% chance they're going to make the playoffs this year, even with some of those questions we have for them over the next couple of weeks. If you have Brad Marchand in fantasy, this is frustrating, right? He's been vocal this season about a number of things. He's gotten suspended in the past. When he's healthy, when he's producing, he's what, a top 10 fantasy producer among all players without question. Nobody could tell you otherwise. But right now, like, I know some people have traded him. The value has diminished a little bit in the short term. What's your stance on Brad Marchand fantasy wise after yet another suspension for the guy?
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, he just sits on your bench. Like, if you're in Yahoo standard leagues, he just sits on your bench and you wait for him to come back. I think along those lines, I just don't know if the value will be there right now, right here, to trade a Brad Marchand. I just think you take the punch and you move on and you hope that top 10, top 20 fantasy piece Brad Marchand comes back, which is very likely. And we'll see what happens here with Patrice Bergeron. He's day to day, but man, oh man, Pete, is David Pastrnak started to cook. I put out the numbers on social the other day. In 2022, this guy is scoring at a Matthews type pace, which is great to see considering the start that Pastrnak had. But again, I hope people take our advice, because we were talking and touting about buying low on Pastrnak. So I hope our great listeners did, Pete.
There was certainly a great opportunity to do so. And yeah, now you see him in our rankings passing players like Gabriel Landeskog, Jake Gensel, Braden Point. You know, players like that, even some really highly ranked players like Matthew Tkachuk and Timo Meier, JT Miller. I think he belongs in the top 20 overall, at top 20 forwards, at least for the rest of the season. And you have him ranked right behind a couple of those Ranger guys like Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, who have been outstanding this season, not only from a scoring standpoint, but also category coverage wise. So I think maybe Pastrnak lacks the category coverage a little bit compared to the absolute best of the best, but still top 20 among forwards, not too shabby. Good to see him back there, because it was a miserable start for him.
Okay, let's get to the Montreal Canadiens guys and the ramifications, fantasy styles of that. They brought in a peewee coach. Like, what are we doing here? And I've been waiting 2 days to talk about this, with all due respect to Hockey Hall of Fame.
Not on this show. No, not on this show. You're not ripping Marty St. Louis on this show.
I'm not ripping Marty St. Louis. It's just more so how this process was handled. I don't think the players are getting enough flack for what happened here with Dom Ducharme. You don't just go from going to a Stanley Cup final to all of a sudden I can't coach a game. And I have a pretty decent pulse on the market in Montreal, guys. You know that. I was born there. I got family members who are Montreal Canadiens fans. They love Dominic Ducharme when he was hired. He was brought in. We finally got our guy, was what everybody was saying. Next thing you know, Dom Ducharme can't coach. What's he doing with Cole Caulfield? So there's a trickle-down effect. Having said that, I think if there's maybe one person in this world who's going to get Cole Caulfield going, maybe it's Marty St. Louis. You look at his presence, Pete. You look at, you know, his stature in the league, the fact that he was a smaller type player. I want to see these guys in practice and what Caulfield can bring to the table, because that's maybe one of the things I do disagree with Dominic Ducharme. How do you have a guy like Cole Caulfield on your fourth line? There's a lot to dissect, I think, from this coaching change. And the fact, Pete, that You know, it made no sense for Montreal to make this move to pay somebody to go away. But the players, I hate to use this, but they quit. They let 33 goals in the last five games under Dominique Ducharme. And they lost to a New Jersey team who didn't have Jack Hughes, didn't have Dougie Hamilton, didn't have Blackwood in between the pipes. They had John Gillies, a four-string goalie. I can go on for days, but I was perturbed by that last game.
Yeah, you got to make some sort of a change after a loss like that. I totally agree with you there. I think it's interesting, right? They hired St. Louis. They're not committing to him just yet for like the long term, which I think is strange. I think you bring in a player of that caliber, a personality like that, a fan favorite wherever he's been, whether Tampa or the Rangers. Remember, the Rangers traded for him mid-season and then made the cup final, and he became an instant hit on Broadway. So definitely was one of my, you know, pound for pound, one of the most fun players I've ever seen in the NHL. And I would love to see Cole Caufield develop the type of game that St. Louis had. But I just think the problems run so much deeper than just getting Cole Caufield to get his game back on track. Of course, putting him back in the top six, having a healthy Toffoli and Suzuki and putting that line back together would lead to better success and fantasy relevance for Cole Caufield. But I just think, like, without Carey Price, I hate to, you know, pin it all on that, but hopefully Carey Price comes back later in the season next year. Then we'll be talking. Without Carey Price, this team doesn't have a chance to make the playoffs. At least I don't think so.
I tell you, Pete, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing. And if all of a sudden Montreal comes out, they're stout defensively, they're winning some hockey games, because I'm telling you, with the personnel on that roster and taking nothing away from New Jersey and teams of that, like Columbus, they lost to a couple of weeks ago. I was disgusted. Mm-hmm. So while people are piling up on Dominique Ducharme, I don't think it's all his fault, Bob.
Well, it sets the stage for Marty St. Louis. And we had our pal Todd Furman on to talk about awards. It sets the stage for Marty St. Louis to steal the Jack Adams. I mean, I sense a little undefeated here towards the end of the season. And Marty St. Louis, right now, he's not on the board. I looked. He's not on the board. But you put together a nice little stretch. Maybe Marty's taking home the Jack Adams. What a story that would be, huh? Once it gets on the board, I'm betting it, because I feel it in my plums.
I think Bob's still in Vegas here, Pete.
Bob might be losing his mind a little bit. But anyway, Bobby, I agree. If he gets the Montreal Canadiens to the playoffs, he should win Jack Adams. The problem is there's probably a 99% chance that's not going to happen. So
it's Mike Sullivan's
feeling lucky
award.
I guess you could think about it, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Todd Furman likes the play. Okay. He just texted me. He said he likes the play. He's waiting for the number to come out himself. So what else we got? Hey, we got a ton of questions. So can we get cooking on the questions? The listeners actually have been great with the questions this year, and we really appreciate it. So we'll get to them. But what else we got going here, Nick?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple things on Montreal. Those are the guys I'm looking at. Caufield, Jeff Petrie, the coaching change bump. I think we will see that with the Montreal Canadiens. They'll actually win a game. I'm going to preach that and call that. I think it happens on the weekend. I think they're playing Columbus again, so maybe it happens then. I want to get to this too as well. Friend of the show, Davey Satriano, and his Connor Brown call. I think we have to give him props there, because he comes on from fanfare, a goal and two assists this week, and a five-game week for the Ottawa Senators. And by the way, the reason why I brought up the Edmonton Oilers, Bobby, they got the unicorn schedule next week, so you better get used to talking about Edmonton, because they got five games next week, my friend.
And how about a little revenge possibly coming up on Thursday? Matt Murray, who's playing out of this world over his past six, seven games, is going to be most likely, you would think, playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins for the first time since his career kind of went downhill by joining the Senators on the other way of that trade a couple of years ago. Of course, these teams haven't been playing each other, so we've seen a lot of revenge the past couple of weeks with some random opponents that we thought will have played by now. But Matt Murray gets a chance to take down his former team. You buy in any stock in Matt Murray in general right now, especially ahead of that big matchup on Thursday?
Definitely, Pete. Especially number one, considering how much hockey the Ottawa Senators have yet to play this season. Number two, the numbers, you can't overlook them. And I just like, the confidence this team is playing with. Like, I understand you lose Norris, you lose Batherson, but Brady Tkachuk finally scores a goal after we talked about him the last couple of weeks. I think there's some underlying value, I should say, in the Ottawa Senators here in the second half of the season. I think you want to talk about sleepers. I think they're near or atop the list. And quite honestly, great for Matt Murray. Like it's been a real, real struggle since going over to the Ottawa Senators and the fact of how early he won two Stanley Cups and just the turbulency after that. I love this story. And I do believe in the file moving forward this season, Pete.
And it's not just that recent stretch. He's up to a 914 save percentage on the season, and he's got around a 500 record. And we know how many guys have been missing for Ottawa at different points this season. We know how Brady Tkachuk has been in a downward spiral, at least in terms of goal scoring over the past month or so. But that's going to be a dangerous team. We said it the other day, right? We were saying, you know, they're going to be playing a back-to-back. The game could get higher scoring, and that's what happened. And they beat the Carolina Hurricanes. So, you know, watch out for them in situational spots. If the team they're playing is on a back-to-back, even if they're home or road, we saw earlier in the year, right? Didn't they beat Tampa one time? Like they're capable of knocking down, you know, slaying a Goliath on any given night. They're not going to have the consistency. You know, the next game you could see them maybe lose to the Sabres like we saw a couple of weeks ago. So wildly inconsistent, but they pack the punch any given night offensively. And it's good to see, you know, some of these other guys getting involved. We've seen Stützle. We've seen Connor Brown. You should go and pick him up in deeper leagues for sure. Like Davey said, you know, Formenton. I think there are some really good options for this team. And you see them start to score throughout the lineup, which is a good sign for their play in any given matchup.
Here's a good one for you, courtesy a Fund Drummer on Instagram. I've been getting questions about this a lot recently, too. Ryan Hartman is ice cold. Hot or fold? I think that should be a new game here on the podcast, fellas.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Hartman. As long as he's, you know, up top with, you know, in one of the first three lines, I think he's in pretty good hands. So, yeah, you know, we've seen it a couple of times from different players. You know, Stevenson, before he was on the COVID list, even for Vegas, was had a stretch of, you know, some downward production. We've seen it from Evan Rodriguez for Pittsburgh, another breakout player who went into a dry spell for about 12, 13 games. But of course, now Malkin's on COVID list. So he comes back and has a point the other day, and he's back on power play one for the time being. So, you know, don't lose faith in Ryan Hartman. I think he has the lineup placement that a lot of other breakout players may not have, which will give him a chance to sustain what he's done so far.
Hold.
Yeah, you're holding? Yeah. Hold. I'm teetering, fellas. Like, I think in a perfect world, they pick up another forward, at least one more forward to play in the top six in Minnesota, and that leaves a guy like Hartman on your third line in a checking role in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm teetering. That's all I'm starting to say, because I think Ryan Hartman, his body of work, he's a bit older. You know, we thought we knew what he was in his career, but Pete, I totally agree. The attachment, there's any attachment whatsoever, 5-on-5 to Kaprizov or Fiala for that matter, I think you have to sit tight for now.
Billy G's not doing anything to affect Hartman. Okay. I know Billy G is known to make the moves at the deadline. Hartman will be there.
You too?
Hold. Yeah. Me and Billy G are texting back and forth. He's wishing me his best of luck. And yeah, we're tight. So, hold on Hartman for sure.
Okay. Fair enough.
No points, no points in five of his past six for Hartman, but he's still plus 32 on the season. I'm not dropping plus 32 because someone else will pick him up. So especially from a strong, well-rounded team like Minnesota, right, Nick? So maybe I convinced you a little bit.
Yeah, I'm teetering. I don't even own him. I don't know. He's a player. Like, you, sometimes you look at players in fantasy hockey and you're like, this is not sustainable. Ivan Barbashev's the same conversation, right? Like, these guys are great stories, but I have a quick trigger finger when it comes to fantasy. I'll move on really, really quickly. But again, I think the attachment of Kaprizov, Pete, you hold on for now.
Are you more inclined? Because I know in the top 100 forwards, maybe a little reactionary. St. Louis is really deep and we love them on this show, especially you. But you see Robert Thomas and also Barbashev dropping out of the top 100 forward rankings. Are you inclined to be more patient with one or both of those guys? Or like, see, Robert Thomas doesn't have the category coverage. So when the scoring dries out, it all falls off. But Barbashev, at least, even if he's on the third line, gets you some good coverage and can return value, even if his scoring dips a little bit, I think.
Yeah, the way I would answer that, it really, really depends on the settings in your league, right? Like, I think if you're after shots on goal, if you're after goals and all that, I think Robert Thomas is not your guy. Maybe it's more mm-hmm. so Barbashev. If you're in a bangers league, like, there's a lot of intangibles and variables, yeah. I think, that come across the wire for me when it comes to that. But those are guys, like, I have on my sort of my periphery, you know, my fringe of guys that I'd like to pick up, but I think are interchangeable, if that makes sense, Pete.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, some other injury news. We mentioned Malkin going on COVID list, Jack Hughes and Quinn Hughes, separate teams, but same situation. They're crazy, not, yeah. They're on COVID list. So, and then there's also Mark Stone missed the game yesterday. Definitely going to be looking at the Golden Knights, their injury situation and how it pertains to Eichel, whether it's Mark Stone, Alec Martinez. We've been hearing rumblings about Martinez, but we haven't seen him just yet. The health of these players and the timing of it is going to be interesting with Jack Eichel cleared for contact. And you would anticipate in the next couple of weeks, he's probably going to be suiting up for them.
I'd love a series behind the scenes to see what's going on here, guys, because I think it's quite clear Jack Eichel's debut is coming in the next couple of weeks. He was cleared for contact following All-Star. You know, now Mark Stone's out of the lineup. I'm just very curious, Pete, to see how they're going to tap dance and make this work, right? Because of the salary ramifications of a guy of the ilk of Jack Eichel coming into the lineup. But I'm really excited too. Like, and I'm sure they are in Vegas. Clearly we were there at All-Star weekend. Jack Eichel was there all over the city. Like, he's already become, weirdly enough, like the face of the Vegas Golden Knights, which is interesting considering some of the players they have already. But I really want to see if this puts them over the top. And on top of that, I want to see what they have to give up to get this player in the lineup. Like, who do you think it's going to be, Pete?
Well, Riley Smith's having a nice season, so it's tough to trade him. It's a lot easier to trade William Karlsson or someone like that. Or Dadonov. Yeah. So that's where I would lean toward one of those two other guys, not Riley Smith. But Riley Smith's in a contract year. If you're looking ahead beyond just this season, then maybe he is the logical guy if you're probably going to lose him in the off season anyway. So
yeah,
that's what Vegas has to, you know, juggle with this situation. But Riley Smith, 32 points in 46 games this year with a good shot volume and steady play on that second line, as we've always known him to provide. So I think there are, you know, he's like the most that you would lose by giving someone up at the deadline. I mean, if they have to give up like Theodore, I mean, they can't let that happen. They need to have their core in place for this playoff run. They can't take a step back by adding Eichel, who should really give them a step forward.
Yeah, well, that's the issue too, is who do you subtract off the roster? But then you also think you're a Stanley Cup contender. Pete, I want to bring up, your guy is starting to cook. It is bye time on Patrick Laine. I know you're going to back me on this. As we have this conversation, three straight two-goal games, his last three, 6 goals, 1 assist, 13 shots on goal. I think automatically, I think from a DFS standpoint, you look at his line mates, Boone Jenner has been hot lately, and Gustav Nyquist. How do you feel about that, Petey?
Nyquist has been really productive ever since he's come back from that long injury absence. And Boone Jenner, I've had in one league, I think it was like week one or two of the season, we were talking about him as being a guy that's good in face-offs leagues and hits leagues and bangers leagues and everything like that. And he's a consistent scorer too. He never goes more than like two or three games without a point. So I've been on his end for a while, and I'm a big fan of that player. It's nice to see him playing in the top six. And when we were doing that show back a couple months ago, right, Nick, bold predictions for 2022, we were talking about Patrick Laine and his goal ceiling in the second half. And right now it's not even linked to any line mates or anything.
No.
One thing to keep an eye on though about Laine, I know he left practice early on Wednesday. So just keep an eye before you swing any mega trade for him or anything right now. Make sure he's fully healthy for their next game coming up. But yeah, Patrick Laine looks like vintage Patrick Laine. And I hope that it continues, because I know his first 3-4 years in the league, right, Nick, he was one of the most exciting players. You could put him on, you know, if, on your two hands, if you picked like the two hands worth of most exciting players in the NHL, he would have been on there. So hopefully he can get back to that level of play and sustain it.
Yeah, I feel like he's been around for like 15 years now. So I'm happy we touched on that because I want to give you props. I took a bit of heat on social media on Wednesday night, and I don't know why. All I said was Jacob Markstrom has entered the Vezina conversation. Now that I have the floor to talk about it, I meant more so in the upper echelon of the conversation. Like, I think Jacob Markstrom, Pete, is near the top of the Vezina debate. Obviously, you got guys like Jari and Shesterkin and Saros. Like, the list goes on. But the season he's having, I think people put too much stock into Daryl Sutter being behind the bench. When you get 8 shutouts in a season, that's pretty damn impressive. I thought he was awesome against Vegas on Wednesday night.
You're right. 8 shutouts in a whole season is, I think that's more than anybody had last year. And of course, we're like not even at that 56 game mark. So, and this is supposed to be an 82 game season. So, I mean, he could get into double digits at this point. He probably will. And if you look as of right now, Thursday morning, February 10th, he's the most valuable goalie in the league in standard categories because of the shutout edge. And he's got 18 wins, which is not too far behind guys like Shesterkin and Jari and Freddie Anderson and Andrei Vasilevsky. So, yeah, I mean, Markstrom, if the Flames are going to solidify themselves as that second best team in the Pacific Division, he could certainly win the Vezina, but he doesn't come with the same glitz as Shesterkin or Campbell playing for the Leafs or even Freddie Anderson. I feel like Freddie Anderson's gotten a lot more love on this show and elsewhere than Calgary and Jacob Markstrom. So I think it's a good play. I think with that shutout total, it puts him in the conversation in itself.
And again, just what we talked about the weekend, like I love the narratives and the stories and the fact that everybody counted Calgary out this season. Daryl Sutter, I for one did not believe in Daryl Sutter. You bring in guys like Brad Richardson and Nikita Zadorov. And my goodness, like this has been a really, really impressive season. And look at this team that's capitalized on a division that's weaker than others, right? Like there's Vegas and everybody else. So we talked about that going into this season. So I had to tip my cap a bit here to the Calgary Flames and Jacob Markstrom. The bounce back season, signs the monster contract coming over from the Vancouver Canucks a couple of years back. And I think he's been marvelous, and I wouldn't want to play Calgary in the playoffs. I'll say that.
No, why would you want to play Calgary in the playoffs? And we did get a question on Instagram also asking about Calgary's future appeal. And if you do yourself a favor, go back and listen to our pal Todd Furman over there on the Bet the Board podcast. From Fanfare, he was all over the Calgary Flames, and old Bob Bender is all over the Calgary Flames also, because I can kind of envision this team with an easy path early in the playoffs, somehow sneaking into the final and having a shot there. So the price is right for the Flames. And with Markstrom in net, why not? Why can't the goalie get hot? Why can't Sutter frustrate teams out west in the playoffs and find their way into the Stanley Cup finals? So listen to Todd Furman. He sees all.
Well, when Markstrom was really good for Vancouver that one year and into the playoffs as well before I think he got injured and Demko came in for them and the rest was history there. But, I mean, Markstrom has now done it for 2 different teams. He got paid big money to come there, and he's been kind of the bedrock of the team even last year when they weren't. He put up good numbers as a workhorse last year, maybe outside of save percentage, but he was pretty reliable for them. And he's taken it to a whole new level this year, bouncing back. And Calgary looks like a playoff team to me. Their top 6 looks loaded. You're seeing the contributions again from Mangiapane yesterday. You're seeing Blake Coleman have some multi-point games. Blake Coleman, by the way, low shooting percentage, so he has an even higher gear. I kind of like him as a second half bounce back player from the Flames. And if they're rolling 2 strong lines, they're going to be one of the more dangerous teams in the West. But I still don't see them beating Vegas from that same division come playoff time. I can't imagine that it's going to happen. So that's my only hesitation with the futures play on Calgary, even though the value looks good right now.
Never say never. Didn't Vegas lose to Dallas a couple of years ago in the playoffs, right? Exactly. Like you never know, right? Like
they start gripping the sticks real tight. The sawdust starts shooting out, and you got Sutter on the bench and Markstrom with the shutouts. So you never know. I mean, and again, it's all price based, right? Yeah. The best part, and I'll say it again, the best part about that play is the easy path early in the playoffs. And I know Vegas down the line, but look at all these other divisions. I mean, it's a toss up. Right. It's seven game series. And again, Sutter too, just finds a way to neutralize the opposition, especially in the playoffs. And with that goaltender Markstrom, let's go. I went to the window. I went to the window in Vegas and placed a little Fuchi Fuch.
I know you did. Clearly you did. But I just going to add too, with Vegas, traded the wrong goalie. I'm not going to say it again. I mean, Robin Leonard, oh boy, you get lit up by, and that's the biggest, I want to add that. That's the biggest misconception, guys, with the Calgary Flames. That team can't score goals. They've been on a tear lately scoring goals. So I'm with you on that. I'm looking at that play. Don't, you know, I might have to go back to Vegas this weekend and file it.
Plus 3,000 Calgary Flames on DraftKings Sportsbook to win the Stanley Cup. That's looking pretty good right now, especially when you consider come playoff time or any given shift, their top line has been statistically one of the best top lines in the league this year, right? Tkachuk, mm-hmm. Johnny Gaudreau, and Elias Lindholm. Johnny Gaudreau's in the top 15 overall fantasy players right now. Not a guy that covers hits or anything close to it. He's usually one of the lowest producers in that category in the league. So the fact that he's in that rankings realm is like crazy, because he's really been, he's among the league leaders in scoring. I think he's top 10, and bounce back season for him as well. So if we're talking Freddie Anderson, bounce back player of the year, not so fast. Johnny Gaudreau has a say in that matter as well.
Johnny Ham and Cheese is one motivated guy right now with pending UFA status. I think he could come out to your neck of the woods, boys, if you know what I'm saying. But I'd love to see Mark Giordano, the former captain of the Flames, back. I think he could be on the move by the deadline. And he's a very Sutter piece. I mean, he's familiar with the guy. And they're looking for a power play quarterback too, right?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm always curious to see if, you know, how quick a team would be to bring a player like that back. I mean, clearly, if Vegas had a short memory, they would be trying to bring back Fleury for the playoff run, like you said. But that's not going to happen with how that thing ended. But yeah, and we'll see. I think that Calgary probably needs to make a move before the deadline.
Yeah.
Their number two center, Sean Monahan, still makes me worry. Even when he's been healthy, hasn't been the same type of player. So you never know. Maybe they'll get into the, you know, you think they're going to re-sign Johnny Gaudreau for the long term? You think he's going to go somewhere else? Like, it's interesting that he's having this good of a season, but he's not under contract. And the future in Calgary is a little uncertain too, right, with their arena deal and stuff.
Yeah, never say never, but I mean, there's a reason why Johnny Gaudreau has been rumored to the East Coast for a while. That's all I'll say. Pete, I got a couple of plays before we wrap here. Let's start Thursday. Washington and Montreal, hammer the over. Now, naturally, when I say that, it's going to be the under, but the Habs have surrendered 33 goals in five games. The Caps 13-3. I think it's an easy over, but I'm always wrong.
Caps just lost to gave up five goals to the Blue Jackets. So, I mean, the Caps are not a safe play for anything other than overs right now.
Goals.
So yeah, if you're getting into the Caps, actually one thing about the Caps, I saw Anthony Mantha was back at practice.
Oh,
that's a guy that you forget even existed, but because he's been out for so long. But remember, they traded for him at the deadline last year. It was supposed to put them over the top. It was good returns early, then he kind of disappeared in the playoffs. It was his first trip there. But adding Mantha into your top six, top nine, I mean, that's like pulling a trade deadline move this year. So look for that to maybe make a difference for them in a playoff series if he's healthy.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, the Hurricanes at Boston tonight. the price has swung. They're favorites, minus 137 or so at the moment.
I wonder why.
Speaking exactly. In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. I will take the Hurricanes tonight. And by the way, for our golfers out there, James Harding, I know you'll be all over this. Daniel Berger to win the Waste Management out in Phoenix. Okay. Great price. I mean, it's like 50 to win like almost $2,000. Daniel Berger. We'll get to our Super Bowl picks here shortly as well. That's all I'm seeing on the board. I would lean a little bit to, we just talked about Calgary. I like the Maple Leafs tonight, but on the road, steer clear of that. Just double up on Carolina here tonight on a Thursday.
That Lightning Avalanche game was the one from around the holiday time that we were saying was one of our watch games of the season, and then it got postponed. So I think this is the rescheduled game, 9 p.m. Eastern, Lightning at Avalanche. Avalanche will not be with Nathan MacKinnon, but it sounds like he might come back as early as this weekend, which is a really good sign, not only for the Avs, but for anyone that has MacKinnon, Landeskog, or Rantanen in fantasy. So good to see MacKinnon on the mend so quickly.
I think if a Bobby Boy hits me up on Thursday night and entices me to make the play, I might take a quick flyer in Tampa. I know they're the road dog in that game, but Colorado, for the success they've had on home ice, they got to lose a couple games at home, right? And who better than Tampa, Bobby?
Right. Some regression coming for Colorado. Yeah. They've been just rolling along. No problem.
Already getting me going, you know?
And you know what? You know what? You want to be contrarian? Take the under in that game too. All right. Take the under. Okay. A little tight checking game. Everyone thinks it's going to be high flying up and down. Tight checking. Maybe take the under 6.5. Time for our Super Bowl picks.
Everybody's picking the Bengals and Burrow. I'm going with the Rams. I think the Rams have been the better team all year. They came into the season as the better team by far and away. So I'm kind of just looking for that that to pay off here.
I think. Now, Rams to win outright? Are Rams going to cover the number four? The number's around four, 4.5?
I think they'll
win
outright. You know, I'm not going to say they're going to cover the spread, but I think they'll win outright. I'm pretty confident the Rams will win the Super Bowl. So, and the game's out there. So it's like the second straight year, right, that the home, there's going to be like a home team kind of.
That's right. It doesn't really matter. They don't have much of a home field. I don't know if the Canadians even watch the Super Bowl. Nick, do you even watch the Super Bowl? What's the deal with you?
You know me, I'm the biggest football fan out there. No, people love football in this country, believe it or not, just not yours truly. Can you fill me in on the halftime show? Who's playing at halftime?
I believe it's Snoop Dogg, isn't it? Snoop Dogg and Dre, Dr. Dre. Yeah. So, listen,
I tune in for that.
Last year, I gave you guys a bunch of winners in the props market. I'll do the same right now, and then we'll put a bow on it. I know this is a hockey show, but it's the Super Bowl. Everyone watches the Super Bowl except for Nick.
Except me.
Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. will score a touchdown. All the attention will be to Cooper Kupp. Plus, you're getting it plus money, plus 155. Total sacks by both teams. The number out there is around 5.5. I've seen 4.5 also. I would take the under in that. The price there is plus 155, and I also believe there will be a successful two-point conversion. The price there is plus 210. And how about this for the MVP play? Aaron Donald at plus 1800. The defensive line of the Rams just overwhelmed Burrow, and Aaron Donald, many consider him the best player in football. That's a good price for MVP. I know it's rare a defensive player wins the MVP, but plus 1800, let's go. James Harding, are you taking notes?
That's earmarked for a quarterback. Come on. That's a prayer right there.
Okay, well, we'll talk Super Bowl Monday.
I like the Rams and the revenge. Didn't they lose in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago to the Pats? And our guy Dennis Bernstein's a massive Rams fan, so give me the Rams, although I love my guy Joe Burrow with the Bengals.
We know a couple of Rams fans. We got Bill Price is a Rams
big fans
fan
of the pod.
And DB, so we'll see if those friends of the show will be happy about the result.
The number's gotten a little out of control. It really has. I'll take the points. It's like plus 4.5 with the Bengals. I mean, I think the back door will be open late, and Joe Burrow, you know, finds a way to cover that number. So those are your picks for a Super Bowl Sunday on a Thursday, and time to put a bow on it.
And Matthew Stafford for so many years, right? Just like on those bad Lions teams. Let's get him a Super Bowl here.
Let's go.
Wrap up his career. I would love that. So anyway, so hit us up, NHL Fantasy on Ice, NHL Fantasy on Twitter and Instagram all weekend long to go along with the football. There's a ton of hockey the next couple of days, and we're back from All-Star, so the stretch run is upon us. Send us your waiver wire pickups to close out week 16. We'll be back at you Monday, week 17, for another 2-week stretch. We also got the Olympics going on. Shout out to Denmark for winning their first ever Olympic game on Wednesday. Franz Nielsen, the backhand of death. He's amazing. I love to see him still playing. He should be still playing in the NHL. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. Nick Alberga, Bob Bender, Pete Jensen, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening.